Okay, good morning. So nice to see all of you. This morning's shiur is sponsored by Rabbi Azriel and Chaya Human in memory of their beloved parents, Mrs. Chava Human, Aleha Shalom, and Rabbi Yaakov Chaim and Mrs. Deborah Hilzenrath, Aleha Hashalom. This morning, I'd like to look together with you at this unique moment in time we find ourselves in. These very special days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Anyone who's ever been to Jerusalem in the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot can testify that there's a unique energy in the air, a frenzy. The city is abuzz. The excitement is palpable as people fill the streets and flood the markets, buying the Arbat HaMinim, four species, supplies for their Sukkot, and food for the holiday. This year, of course, things are very different. Things are much quieter, more subdued because of the lockdown. But the fundamental question is, why do we celebrate Sukkot, Dafka, this time of year, in the month of Tishrei? Why now, right after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Don't we deserve a little break? The Torah in Parashat Emor commands us to dwell in Sukkot for 7 days. Sukkot Yeshu Shivat Yamim, Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael Yeshu B'Sukkot, every citizen, every member of Israel shall dwell in Sukkot, in booths, for 7 days. Why? L'man yidu dorotechem, ki v'sukkot hoshafti et b'nei Yisrael, v'hotzi otam e'eretz Mitzrayim, ani Hashem Elokeichem, so that your generations will know that I caused the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I took them out of the land of Egypt. At first glance, the holiday of Sukkot has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. It's connected to the Exodus from Egypt. L'man yedu dorateichem, ki v'sukkot hoshafti et b'nei Yisrael, v'hotzi otam me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's a remembrance, if you will, of the Exodus from Egypt. So why not celebrate Sukkot in the month of Nisan, together with the holiday of Pesach? Why not hold the seder inside of the sukkah, right? And eat the matzah and the maror and have four questions and four cups of wine inside the sukkah. Save a lot of time, save a lot of money, or at the very least, why not celebrate Sukkot immediately following Pesach? Pesach commemorates the Exodus from Egypt, and then have a festival immediately following, which commemorates how Hashem protected us in the wilderness following the Exodus from Egypt. So this is the famous question of the tour. Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher, at the beginning of his Hilchot Sukkah, in Siman Tafresh Chaf Hey, sources here up on the screen for all of us to see. The tour begins by waxing poetic and explaining the meaning behind the holiday of Sukkot and what the sukkah represents. And then he asks our question, why now? Why do we celebrate Sukkot in the month of Tishrei if Sukkot would appear to be connected to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, as the Torah itself tells us? And he writes the following, look where I've underlined. I trust everyone can see the source sheets. Make it a little bigger for all of you. Where I've underlined. I can't highlight the text, but take a look where I've underlined. He writes, "V'afal pi she'yitzanu mi'Mitzrayim b'chodesh Nisan, and even though we left Egypt in the month of Nisan, lo tzivanu lasot sukkah be'oto hazman, we were not commanded to make a sukkah or to dwell in Sukkot at that time, meaning in the month of Nisan, l'fishehu yimot ha'kayitz, because Nisan is the summer or the spring, meaning that's when the weather is warm. V'derech kol adam, and the way of everyone, lasot sukkah letzel, is to make a little sukkah, a little gazebo, a little hut, a summer home, a bungalow, if you will, for shade. People leave their home in the spring. They leave their permanent dwelling and they go into some sort of temporary dwelling to enjoy the summer weather. Velo haita nikeret asiyatenu bahem. And it would not be recognizable that we're sitting outside or that we're making the sukkah in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Shehem b'mitzvot haborei yitbarach. To fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem, blessed be He. Hashem, our creator, blessed be He. In other words, if we would observe the holiday of Sukkot in the month of Nisan and leave our homes and go and sit in the sukkah in the month of Nisan when the weather is warm, well, that's when everyone is enjoying the warm weather. That's when everyone is sitting outside under their pergola. So it wouldn't be obvious that we're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. It would look like we're just sitting outside to enjoy the nice weather. V'lachein, he continues, therefore, tziva utanu, Hashem commanded us, shena'aseh b'chodesh hashvi'i, that we observe the holiday of Sukkot in the seventh month, the month of Tishrei, shehu zman hagshamim, because that is the beginning of the rainy season. Right? You especially feel it right here in Israel, like right after the holiday of Sukkot, all of a sudden the weather changes almost immediately. It starts to get windy and cold and it starts to rain. V'derech kol adam latzeg misukato v'liyashev b'veito. And this time of year, in Tishrei, just the opposite happens. Everyone who's been sitting outside and enjoying the nice weather and living in their bungalow or their cabin or their dacha by the lake or sitting under their pergola, they go back inside. Everyone's leaving their sukkah, so to speak, and they're going back into their permanent homes, their homes of brick and mortar. But we do the opposite. We leave this time of year our permanent homes and go and dwell in the sukkah. And through this, it is obvious. It appears to all shemitzvat hamelech hi aleinu la'asota, that we're doing it not to enjoy the nice weather, because the weather is poor this time of year. It's getting cold. It's going to start to rain, but we're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. We're doing it shemitzvat hamelech hi aleinu la'asota, because Hashem commanded us. The mitzvah of the king is upon us to perform it. So that's how the tour explains why we observe the holiday of Sukkot in the month of Tishrei. It's so that it's obvious to all we're doing it for the sake of the performance of the mitzvah. If it would be in the springtime, if it would be in Nisan together with Pesach or immediately following Pesach, it would look like we're just going outside to enjoy the nice weather. Everyone goes outside and sits on their mirpeset, on their porch, sits under their pergola, right, goes to the mountains, sits in a cabin, goes up to the Golan, stays in some dacha. But we observe the holiday of Sukkot dafka now in Tishrei. The Torah explains when the weather starts to change and it's the beginning of the rainy season here in Israel. And we do it so that it's obvious that we're leaving our home for the sake of the mitzvah, to perform the mitzvah of the king, Kodesh Baruch Hu, which he commanded us. Okay, it's a good explanation, but it doesn't really answer the question, because if it's supposed to be recognizable that we're sitting outside not to enjoy the nice weather, but rather to perform a mitzvah, why not have Sukkot in the middle of December or January? In Cheshvan, in Kislev, surely then it would be obvious that we're not sitting outside for our pleasure. Meaning, if it's just arbitrary, if the whole reason is just to show that we're going outside and leaving our permanent homes of brick and mortar to sit in the sukkah, not to enjoy the weather, but to perform the mitzvah of the king, to fulfill this mitzvah. So why dafka Tishrei? Again, you can ask, why not Cheshvan Kislev? Right? When it's really cold, it would be obvious to all that we're not sitting outside for the weather, for our enjoyment. So there must be a deeper reason as to why Sukkot is celebrated dafka this time of year, in the month of Tishrei. It's no coincidence that Sukkot is in the month of Tishrei, immediately following Rosh Hashanah, in Yom Kippur. In Rosh Hashanah, we stand before Hashem in judgment. On Yom Kippur, we are purified, cleansed of sin. The holiday of Sukkot is the manifestation of that closeness with Hashem that we've achieved during those preceding days. And the connection between the Yamim HaNoraim, the days of awe and the days of judgment, and Sukkot is deeply rooted in our historical experience. You know, there's a machloket which appears in Masechet Sukkah and Daf Yud Aleph. It's also in the Midrash, in Torat Kohanim, whether the Sukkah that we sit in represents Sukkot mamash, real huts that the Jewish people dwelt in the wilderness, or the Anane HaKavod, Hashem's clouds of glory which protected the Jewish people in the Midbar, in the wilderness. After the Chet HaEgel, the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory were removed from the Jewish people. On Yom Kippur, the Jewish people historically were forgiven for the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, and the clouds of glory returned to the Jewish people. That, of course, is why Yom Kippur becomes the Day of Atonement. It was the day when the Jewish people were forgiven for the Chet HaEgel. But according to the Vilna Gaon, the holiday of Sukkot commemorates the return of the clouds of glory, and with them the Shekhinah, the divine presence, as Sukkot coincides with the beginning of the commandment to construct the Mishkan. That is why, explains the Vilna Gaon, Sukkot is celebrated at this time of year, immediately following Yom Kippur. You have levels of tshuva, of course. There is slicha, mechila, kapara, forgiveness, pardon, atonement, and then ritsui. Ritsui is often translated as appeasement, but it's much more than appeasement. It's that closeness that's achieved when there's a rift in the relationship, when there are hurdles, when there are problems. It's that greater closeness that's achieved or found following some disturbance. In our lives, of course, we know following a fight with someone, a greater closeness can be achieved if the relationship is tested. But if the two individuals can make up and make peace, oftentimes the result is a deeper relationship. That is ritsui. It's true in our relationships with one another, in our relationships with our spouses, and it's true in our relationship with Hashem. If we do tshuva properly, we can come even closer to Hashem than we were even before we sinned. That is the ritsui. And following the Chet HaEgel, the Jewish nation achieved a ritsui, which resulted in Sukkot, according to the Vilna Gaon. Here I put on the source sheets. It's a little difficult to see, but this is the Perush of the Gra to Shir HaShirim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalid. And it's very fitting. He comments on the verse, Heviani HaMelech Chadarav. Hashem, the king, brings me into his innermost chamber. Heviani HaMelech Chadarav. We merit in dwelling in the Sukkah, surrounded by the Shekhinah, because of the Ritsui following the Yemei Hadin. And this is summed up very nicely in the next source by the Aruch HaShulchan, who also struggles with the question of why we celebrate the holiday of Sukkot Dafka now in the month of Tishrei. And he writes the following here in source number 4. He first begins by citing the tour which we began with, and then writes V'od Yesh Lomar, Tam Nachon. We can also suggest another true explanation or reason, Al Mashem Mitzvah B'Tishrei, as to why we celebrate the holiday of Sukkot in Tishrei V'lo B'Nisan, and not in the month of Nisan. L'fi She Ratzahu Yidbarach L'arot She'af Al Pi She'chotim Anachnu Mikol Makom Lo Sara Hashgachato Me'aleinu. Because Hashem wants to show Not that we want to show something with our action by leaving the home and entering the sukkah, but here, the way the Aruch HaShulchan formulates it, Hashem wants to show that even though we have sinned, nevertheless, Hashem has not removed his presence from among us, his providence from among us. Uvitzilo anachnu yoshvim, v'michsek knafav mitlonem. We take shelter and sit underneath his shade and underneath the protection of his wings. We find shelter and shade in literally underneath the Shekhinah when we sit inside of the Sukkah. That's what the Sukkah represents. It's that extension of the preceding days, the Yemei Hadin. Ukemo shachar matan Torah, asu et ha'egel. And Aruch HaShulchan says, just like the Lagon we mentioned, that following the giving of the Torah, the Jewish people sinned with the Chet Egel, the golden calf. The alkol ze nitratzele, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'luchot achronot, v'haya ze b'yom HaKippurim, and Hashem was appeased, and Hashem forgave them, and Hashem gave them the luchot achronot, or luchot hashniot, the second tablets, the second luchot, v'haya ze b'yom HaKippurim, and that took place on Yom Kippur. U'lachar Yom HaKippurim, tzivanu la'asot ha'mishkan, sheshchinato tishkon b'neinu. And right after, Hashem commanded us to begin the construction of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, which is to bring about the divine presence, the Shekhinah, to rest among us, v'asuli migdash v'shachanti b'tocham, of course, right? Hashem says, make for me a sanctuary and I will dwell among you. V'lo hisir me'aleim ananei kavod, and he did not remove from them the ananei kavod, right? Or the way the Vilna Gaon formulates, this represents the return of the Ananei HaKavod. Kidichtiv b'Nechemiah she'evenu b'seif bet. Kimo kein. Similarly, asalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mitzvah zu dugmata l'dorot. Hashem, therefore, the Holy One, blessed be He, gave us this mitzvah as a symbol or an example, really. A dugma l'dorot for future generations. She'af al pi she Anu chotim kol hashana, that even though we may sin the entire year, mikol makom, nevertheless, b'yom kippurim mechaper avonoteinu. On Yom Kippur, we are forgiven for our sins. Our sins are atoned for. U'kishanu shavim b'tshuva, and when we return in tshuva, in repentance, v'siman l'davar, and a sign for this, right? The sign. The fact that we have returned to Hashem in tshuva and now can sit in His presence, shetekev achar Yom HaKippur, immediately following Yom HaKippurim, tziva aleinu la'asot sukkah, sheneshev b'tzilo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Immediately following Yom Kippur, we have this mitzvah, we are commanded to build the sukkah and to sit under the shade of Hashem. Kidichtiv, as is written in the second parak of Shir HaShirim, Tzilo chemdati v'yashavti zo mitzvat sukkah. I sit, I delight in Hashem's shade, and there I sat. Okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan says that is the sukkah. What does it mean when it says in Shir HaShirim, in His shade I delighted, and there I sat? That, of course, is the sukkah. That's the mitzvah of sukkah. It's sitting in Hashem's shade. It's sitting in Hashem's presence. It's sitting underneath the Shekhinah. Ufiryo matok l'chiki. The verse continues, and His fruit is sweet to my palate. What fruit are we talking about? The Aruch HaShulchan says so beautifully, Zo mitzvat etrog. That is the commandment of the etrog. That's what that verse alludes to. These days in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot represent that ritsui, that appeasement, that deepened relationship, that we've returned to Hashem in tshuva, we've achieved slicha, u'michila, u'kapara, and ritsui, and now we can sit in Hashem's shade, in Hashem's presence, underneath the Shekhinah. Many have the custom to begin building the sukkah immediately following the conclusion of Yom Kippur. After fasting and praying all day, they eat a little something and get right to work, going from one mitzvah to the next, not skipping a beat, not delaying or missing the opportunity, not putting off the chance to fulfill a mitzvah. It's a labor of love, which expresses the desire to carry over the inspiration of the past 24 or 25 hours. And there's something magical that takes place on these Jerusalem rooftops and balconies lit by the moon and stars. Here in my neighborhood of Harnof, you can hear hammering and even singing well into the night. Hopefully you're not trying to go to sleep. But it's an intense ending to an intense day. And what I'd like to draw your attention to is that the Ramah, in his comments to the Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Tafresh Chavdalid, records the minhag of building the sukkah immediately following Yom Kippur twice. So if you'll take a look here at sources 5 and 6, where I've underlined, the Ramah first writes, and this is the very end of Hilchot Yom HaKippurim, the Ramah writes, the Hamedaktikim, those scrupulous in their performance of mitzvot, matchilim miyad, they begin immediately, b'motzei Yom Kippur, following the completion of Yom Kippur, b'asiyat ha-sukkah, with the building of the sukkah, kidei latzeit mi-mitzvah el mi-mitzvah. To go from one mitzvah to the next, kidei latzeit mi-mitzvah el mitzvah. Beautiful idea. He cites the Maharil, an early source for this practice. And then at the beginning of Hilchot Sukkah, the Ramah repeats himself, again recording the custom to build the sukkah immediately following Yom Kippur. Again, where I've underlined here in source number 6, u'mitzvah letakena sukkah miyad lachar Yom Kippur. There's a mitzvah now, right? So that is a mitzvah to construct the sukkah, to build the sukkah immediately following Yom Kippur. And here he gives the famous Talmudic dictum, the mitzvah haba liyado al yach mitzena. When a mitzvah comes into a person's hand, mitzvah comes into your hand, the opportunity arises, don't push it off. Literally, don't let it become chametz. Don't let it become leaven. Take advantage of the opportunity when opportunity knocks. When a mitzvah or the opportunity to perform a mitzvah comes into your hand, don't push it off. Don't let it rise. Don't let it become like leaven, like chametz. Okay? So the question is, why does the Ramah record this custom twice? Right? The Ramah is usually very meticulous in his comments on the Shulchan Aruch. Why does he cite this custom twice? And what's the reason, bichlal, for this practice? Can't the sukkah wait until the next morning? I mean, you just got home from shul. You're so tired. You've been fasting all day. You've been on your feet all day. You've been davening all day. Why begin right after Yom Kippur? So the Mishnah Berurah explains the repetition. And he explains that the first time the Ramah records the minhag, he mentions hamedaktikim, those careful or scrupulous in their observance, begin building immediately. And the Mishnah Berurah explains everyone else begins the next day. And that is why the custom appears twice in the Ramah, explains the Mishnah Berurah. Once for those who begin at night, who are midaktikim, scrupulous in their performance or observance of mitzvot. And again, once for everyone else who begin in the morning. Okay. Reasonable enough. But that answer is difficult to accept, as the Maharil, an early source for the practice, and the very source for the Ramah. The Ramah here quotes the Maharil, as he does in many places. The Maharil, if you look in Minhagim and Hilchot Sukkot, the Maharil himself writes that immediately following Yom Kippur, every individual should be involved in building the sukkah, not just the medaktikim. Perhaps there is a deeper answer. By building the sukkah immediately following Yom Kippur, we express the intimate connection between Sukkot and the Yemei Hadin, which immediately preceded. By mentioning the custom in both the laws of Yom Kippur and again at the beginning of the laws of Sukkot, Perhaps the Ramah stresses this intimate connection. Perhaps the Ramah, by recording this custom twice, at the end of Yom Kippur and then again at the beginning of Hilchot Sukkot, he emphasizes that these are not two separate holidays. They're part of the same unit. It's a cycle. They're intimately related. You go from the atonement and purification and cleansing of Yom Kippur immediately to sitting in the Sukkah surrounded by the Shekhinah. And that's what Rav Shlomo Kluger, there in his comments on the Shulchan Aruch, in his Chochmat Shlomo, says, that we begin building the Sukkah right after Yom Kippur, for Hashem, so to speak, covers over our sins on Yom Kippur, and on Sukkot, he covers us with his Sukkah of protection. Take a look here at source number 7, where I've underlined. He writes, Ach b'yom ha-kippurim she'Yisrael osim tshuva ein mechassin avonam mimenu yitbarach. Asma mechassin avonam mimenu yitbarach u'mashlich otam b'mitzolot. On Yom Kippur, when the Jewish people do tshuva and Hashem atones for their sins, as mechassin avonam mimenu yitbarach, Hashem covers over this, this theme of covering. Hashem covers over their sins from him, u'mashlich otam b'mitzolot, and he casts them off into the depths. Okay? And then here, just skipping a few lines, ulekach ra'ui la'asot ha-sukkah tekef achar yom ha-kippurim. Therefore, he writes, it is appropriate to build the sukkah immediately following Yom Kippur, ki ze nimshach mizeh, because it's a continuation. One continues from the other, he writes. Ulekach, therefore, kevan da'asukkah l'ramez al anane kavod l'hagin mishrav ha-shemesh shigin alehem hu yidbarach. The whole point of the sukkah is to allude to the anane kavod, Hashem's clouds of glory, to invoke the clouds of glory and to remember how Hashem protected us from the shrav and the shemesh, from the sun and the sandstorms and all the harsh conditions in the desert, in the midbar. So lekach shayach la'asoto achari yom ha-kippurim. Therefore, it's appropriate. It makes sense. It's shayach to build the sukkah right after Yom Kippur. Ki ze nimshach miyom ha-kippurim midah kineged midah. It's just a continuation. It's just an extension, measure for measure, he writes. It's a very powerful idea, again, that the two are intimately connected. It's not like we have Yom Kippur and we have Sukkot, and why is Sukkot celebrated now in Tishrei? And the two are very much connected. In the language of the Chachmat Shlomo, one is just an extension of the other. Sukkot is just a natural extension of Yom Kippur and of the atonement we experience on Yom Kippur. And the way I would frame it is that during these incredible days, these very special days between the Yemei HaDin, the days of judgment, and Yamim HaNoraim, the days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we go from a place of purity, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, to a place of peace, Haporeis Sukkot Shalom Aleinu. Immediately following Yom Kippur, the preparations for the holiday begin. We run around, we build the sukkah, we buy the four species, the dalet minim, and anything else we need for the festival. We are all of a sudden surrounded by mitzvot. It's pointed out that the very fact that we are surrounded by mitzvot is a gift from Hashem, which represents his love following the ritzui achieved during the preceding days. It's a symbol of the fact that we were successful in the Yemei HaDin. Now all of a sudden we have an opportunity to fulfill all of these different mitzvot. On Sukkot, we carry the lulav through the streets, raised like a banner, expressing our confidence that we were victorious in judgment just days prior. And while we are obligated to rejoice on every festival, Sukkot is especially joyous. In fact, in our liturgy, in the Nusach HaTfilah, Sukkot is called Zman Simchatenu. It is the paradigm of the joyful celebration, Vichag. And that joy is a result, a direct result of the closeness with Hashem that we've achieved at this time, during these days, in the month of Tishrei. I'll just draw your attention to source number 8 here, where the Rambam writes that on the holiday of Sukkot, there's an additional element of simcha, a simcha yitera. Now, the Rambam is discussing this simcha yitera in the context of how Sukkot was celebrated in the Beit HaMikdash, with the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, and with all the different special and unique observances that took place in the Beit HaMikdash. And he writes, Afal pi shekol ha-mo'adot mitzvah lismoach behen, b'chag ha-sukkot hayta sham b'mikdash simcha yitera. Even though there's a mitzvah to rejoice on all of the festivals, on Chag HaSukkot in the Mikdash, in the Holy Temple, there was a Simcha Yetera. There's a special added Simcha Dafka on the holiday Sukkot. Why? Where does that come from? I think the answer is found in the Mishnah and Maran, Masechet Sukkah, which describes how the Simchat Beit HaShoeva was observed and celebrated in the Beit HaMikdash. Mishnah says, one who did not see the Simchat Beit HaShoeva never saw joy in his life. And the Rambam here, it's interesting, in Halacha Yudalid, where I've underlined, draws from the Mishnah and the Gemara and points out how the Mishnah and the Gemara describe how it was celebrated in the Beit HaMikdash. It was celebrated by the great Chachamim, by the Roshei Yeshivot, by the members of Sanhedrin. The Mishnah and the Gemara describe how different rabbis are dancing and they're doing backflips and they're juggling with torches. And the Rambam points out that it wasn't just everyone or anyone that was celebrating, but it was Dafka the Chachamim, Dafka the Roshei Yeshivot, Dafka the members of the Sanhedrin. Here he writes, "Velo hayu osin ota amei haaretz, v'kol mi sheyirtze." Wasn't that amei haaretz, the hamonei am, the masses of people, the uneducated masses, and it wasn't for anyone who wanted to. V'kol mi sheyirtze, not anyone who wanted to could dance and celebrate at the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, Ela Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael, but it was the great rabbis of Israel, the Roshei HaYeshivot, and Dafka, the Roshei Yeshivas, the Sanhedrin, and the members of the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin, the HaChassidim, and the pious ones, the HaZakenim, and the elders, Anshei Ma'aseh, and people of measure, people of substance, in other words, Talmidei Chachamim. It's Dafka Hem Shahiyu Mirakdi. It's Dafka them that were dancing, Umisapkin, Uminagnin, Umisamchin, Bamigdash, Vimechaga Sukkot. It was Dafka them. Then we were dancing and clapping and playing music and rejoicing and singing during the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Aval Kol Am Hanashim Vahanashim, Kulan Ba'im Lirot Vilishmoa, everyone else, men, women, children, they all went to watch and to listen. But who's in the middle of the circle? The Rambam emphasizes that it was Dafka, the Talmidei Chachamim, Dafka, the Gedolei Yisrael. Why? Why? What's that about? You know, we believe today in democracy, egalitarianism. Why can't everyone sing and dance? Why is it just the Jewish leadership, great rabbis, great wise men, Talmidei Chachamim, members of the Sanhedrin, pious individuals? Why not everyone? I think this goes to the very root of what Simcha is and what we are really celebrating here at the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. But a more broader question, what is Simcha Bechlal? What is joy? So many books have been written, so much ink has been spilled to define what simcha is, what real happiness is, what true joy is, so many seminars. So according to the Rambam, what is being celebrated here is Simcha Shel Mitzvah, the joy we experience when we observe a mitzvah, the joy when we experience, or the joy we experience and express when we serve Hashem, when we feel His closeness, when we come close to Hashem. That is real joy. That's the Simcha here. Again, the Simcha that we experience on Sukkot is a result of that closeness that we've achieved with Hashem during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So it's Dafka, the Chachmei Yisrael, Dafka, the Talmidei Chachamim, the Gedolei Yisrael, the Gedolei Torah, the members of the Sanhedrin that are celebrating and dancing, because those are the individuals that represent that closeness with Hashem. Those are the individuals who embody Torah. And so it's very appropriate that they are the ones dancing and clapping and singing, because they represent that closeness with Hashem. Not that, Chas V'Shalom, each and every one of us can't achieve that closeness, but they embody it, they symbolize it, they represent it. So it's dafka them, the Rambam points out, who are in the middle of the circle, and everyone is watching. And the Rambam continues in Halachat Ted Vav, and waxes poetic and describes the true joy that one experiences when he observes a mitzvah, the simcha shel mitzvah. And for the Rambam, that's what true joy is. And that's what we're celebrating here at the Simchat Beit HaShoeivah. And that's what we're celebrating on Chag HaSukkot. It's the simcha that is generated from that closeness with Hashem. It's that simcha that one feels when he serves God by observing a mitzvah. Hasimcha sheismach adam basiat ha-mitzvah ubeavat ha-el shetziva behem. The simcha that one experiences, that one feels when he performs a mitzvah, and the love of Hashem who commanded him, that is, the Rambam writes, avodah gdolahi, that is a great service. And the Rambam continues, and waxes poetic about the importance of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's what's being celebrated here. That's what we're describing here. That is the Simcha that we experience on Chag HaSukkot. According to the Rambam, it's that Simcha Shel Mitzvah. When we serve Hashem, when we feel His presence, His closeness. The Sfat Emet, the great Ger Rebbe, compares the sukkah to a chuppah, a wedding canopy. It's the canopy under which the Jewish nation is wed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God, so to speak. It expresses that intimate and deep relationship with our Creator. As we sit in the sukkah, the Shechina, Hashem's presence, surrounds us. We are enveloped in Hashem's love. The sukkah is an embrace. According to our tradition, to be kosher, the sukkah must have at least two walls and a tefach. What are those two walls and a tefach? So I once showed my students, yeshiva guys, 18, 19-year-old guys learning here. I said, imagine here's one tefach, here's another tefach. Sorry, here's one wall, and here's another wall, and then my hand is the tefach, right? Two walls and a tefach. And I asked them, what does this look like? Right? And someone said, Rabbi, it looks like a headlock. I said, exactly, Hashem is placing us in a headlock. No, it looks like a hug, an embrace. The two walls and a tefach could appear like an arm providing a great big divine hug. That's what the sukkah is, according to the Ari HaKadosh. It's an embrace. And after having just gone through the Yemei HaDin, the days of judgment, isn't that all we need? Isn't that what we need, an embrace? Yom Kippur, according to the Mishnah, at the end of Masechet Tanit, is one of the happiest days of the year. Lo hayu yamin tovim liYisrael ki chamisha asar ba'av. The Yom HaKippurim. And the Gemara explains why. Because of the slicha and mechilah provides. That closeness with Hashem. Sukkot is Zman Simchatenu. It's the time of our rejoicing. We rejoice in that closeness. And then the climax of this period is Shemini Atzeret. It's called an Atzeret because we stop. Hashem says in the language of Chazal, don't leave. Kashe Elai Predatchem. Your leave-taking is difficult for me. Stay just a little longer. The whole week, of course, we bring 70 bulls, which correspond to the seven nations of the world. But on Shemini Atzeret, we bring a par echad, one bull representing Am Yisrael. Chazal explained, it's like a king who makes a feast for his entire kingdom. But on the eighth day, the last day, following that entire week of feasting with all of his subjects, he says to his most beloved, his closest friend, Asuli Sudaktana, he tells Am Yisrael, make for me a small meal, just you and I, an intimate dinner, just the two of us. And how do we celebrate that last day, Shemini Atzeret, the climax of this entire period that we've been working up to? By celebrating our relationship with Torah. Simchas Torah. We dance with the Torah. We embrace it. We hug it. We kiss it. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there's this progression. It's interesting. The first 6 days of Sukkot, we make one circuit around one single Sefer Torah. And what do we do on Hoshana Rabbah? We take out all of the Sefer Torah and we make seven circuits around them all. But what do we do on Simchat Torah? We make seven hakafot, building up, holding the Sefer Torah, and what are we dancing around? What's in the middle? Again, the first 6 days, we make one circuit around one Sefer Torah. Then on Hoshana Rabbah, the great day, we take out all of the Sfarim and we make seven circuits around them. But then on Shemini Atzeret or Simchat Torah, we hold the Sefer Torah and we make seven hakafot around the Bima, around the Shulchan. What's in the middle? Noting this progression, Rav Soloveitchik explained, we are making circles around the Shechina. Hashem is in the middle, kivyachol. The divine presence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is there. The period between Yom Kippur and Sukkot is one of tremendous simcha. We're working up to this and building. But as we saw in the Rambam, it's not just stam simcha. It's the simcha that is the result of standing before Hashem. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem lokecha. The Torah tells us to take the four species, ulekachtem lachem biyom rishon, and then the verse ends, usmachtem lifnei Hashem lokecha. You are to rejoice before Hashem your God. Now that, of course, is a reference to the Mikdash, but what it means is that we are standing before Hashem. The simcha we experience, the simcha we feel, is a result of standing before Hashem. It's a result of this special season, these days that immediately precede Sukkot, these days that we are building up to, through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Mehadin, we achieve this Slicha, Mechila, Kabara, Ritzui, and then Hashem surrounds us with Sukkah, with His presence, with His love, and then we celebrate. We celebrate that love. We celebrate that relationship. Happy to take any questions. Any questions? No questions. Okay. So, as challenging as it is right now, as difficult as it may be given our current situation, pandemic, lockdown. But remember, this is Man Simchatenu, the time of our rejoicing. These are special days when we celebrate and rejoice in that closeness with Hashem. As we go from the Mehadin to Chag HaSukkot, I will wish you all a Chag Sameach. Be well. Enjoy.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Very inspiring. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Be well.